Well, today is Pentecost Sunday. And if you're part of Vibe, then you know that we love this Sunday because we love the Holy Spirit. We love that Jesus came. We love that he defeated sin and defeated death. And we love that he rose again victorious. But we also love that when Jesus left, he sent the promise of the Father. He sent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is active today, alive today, and able to empower us like he always has. So we're going to look at the Holy Spirit today. And I want to encourage your heart to get empowered and fired up by the Holy Spirit in a fresh way or a new way like never before. So before we do that, let's just pray and ask the Lord just to really speak this today in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for everybody that's tuned in. We thank you for everybody that's listening. We pray a special blessing over them. Lord, I thank you that during this time, we are realizing that our faith doesn't just work when we're together. Our faith works no matter what. And Jesus, you are always there. And so I pray today, Holy Spirit, wherever we find ourselves, touch us, anoint us, and bless us, and allow us to hear. And if we're not saved, let us hear a life-changing message that we will say yes to Jesus and have our lives never the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I said it, this is Pentecost Sunday, and we love this Sunday because when we think back to 2,000 years ago, this is the moment that the church exploded. It was birthed in a sense, and then it just exploded. After Jesus went to the dead, he rose again after 3 days. Then for the next 40 days, he spent them with his disciples. And after that, he said before he left and he went up to heaven, he said, but guys, do not leave this place because the Holy Spirit's coming. And I'm sure at those moments they're like, but Jesus, do you have to go? And then he tells them those incredible words, don't worry, it's better that I go because there's one coming just like me, the Holy Spirit, and he's going to lead you and he's going to guide you. So the Holy Spirit is who we're talking about today. And that day in Pentecost, 2,000 odd years ago, the church exploded, went from 120 in an upper room to thousands over the next few days, and the world has never been the same since. And so today we're celebrating because it's Pentecost Sunday. And when I think about Pentecost Sunday, I think about the Holy Spirit, I think about what he's done in my life, and I want to share that with you today and encourage your heart that he wants to do incredible things through you. So who is the Holy Spirit? You might be asking the question, who is the Holy Spirit or what does he do? Well, most of us know the Father because we can appreciate the Father. We hear about God the Father. We know about our own dads or we've got a reference of dads. So we know about the Father. The Father created all things. And then we probably know about Jesus because he's God's son. Yeah, I've heard this before. He's God's son and he came and he died on a cross and he defeated sin and he defeated death, and it's not just a story, it's true. And then on the third day, he resurrected. He came back from the grave. Incredible. Now sin and death was defeated forever. And if we ask Jesus into our lives, we are forgiven. But what does the Holy Spirit do? Or what's he about? Well, the Holy Spirit is a spirit. It's in the name. But he's the one who convicted us of our sins and led us to Jesus. It led us to that realization of, you know what? I'm not right with God. I need to get right with God. So he leads us to Jesus. And then when we get to Jesus, guess what he does? He empowers us and he causes us to be witnesses. In other words, he transforms our lives. Through Jesus, we get forgiven. Through the Holy Spirit, he empowers us and transforms us. So if you don't know the Holy Spirit, then I've got good news for you today. Today is a good day to come to know the Holy Spirit. He wants to transform and empower your life. Let's read Acts chapter 1 verse 8 because I want us to see that he is our companion and he's also our helper. And here's what it says in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Again, get your Bibles, get your phones. I know we're not in church, so no one can see if you've got your Bible or not, or your iPad, but get in the habit of doing it. The more you read your Bible, the better you're going to become, because the more you're going to know about the things of God. And it's not just a dead word. Always remember this. The books of the Bible are inspired by God. It's called a living word. So the moment that you read it, it starts to come alive in your heart, and anything that's in your heart starts to affect your life. Amen? So read and get your Bible out and start to use it and start to read it and let it become a habit in your life. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says this, of the Holy Spirit, but you will receive power. This is Jesus letting his disciples know. You'll receive power, and remember that word, or maybe if you're not from Northern Ireland and you're thinking power, you know, it's like, but we say power, okay? So remember power. That's the first one, power, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So the Holy Spirit's going to come upon the disciples, and he wants to do the same thing today, and you will be my witnesses. Remember that, witnesses in Jerusalem and to all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, what I want us to hone in there on there for a moment is Jerusalem. Up until this point, everybody wanted to come to Jerusalem to get to the presence of God. Everybody wanted to come close because they wanted to be in the presence of God. But because of what Jesus did, now suddenly, and the Holy Spirit now about to come, he's about to be poured out because Jesus has defeated death and sin, and now the Holy Spirit's about to be released. And when the Holy Spirit is released, he's not contained in a temple made of man any longer. He can only be contained in a temple made by God. That's us. We suddenly became the temples of the Holy Spirit. And so now, instead of going to a physical place that where the Holy Spirit would dwell or the presence of God would dwell, the Holy Spirit is now available to live in our hearts and overflow in our lives. And we literally become living stones or living temples. And so now, instead of going to a place, God sends us out from a place. And he says, from now on, when you receive his power, you will become my witnesses and you will go out into all of the world. So when we get the power of the Holy Spirit and we become God's witnesses, get ready. He's going to send us out. Remember, that's Jesus's great commission. Go into all the world. And then you think to yourself, well, how am I supposed to do that? You cannot do it without the Holy Spirit. He's the one that empowers us. He's the one that helps us. So we need the Holy Spirit. And there's two things that I want us to think about today and two things I want to pick out. And we've mentioned the words already. Power is the first one, or power, you know, it's going to be hard for me to say that one good. So you're just going to have to make that wee adjustment in your head if you're watching from a different country or a different place. But power is the first one, and then witnesses is the second one. Let me talk about power as the first one. Now, when you think about power, you maybe think about many things. But when God thinks about power, he says, I want you to have impact if it's about our lives. I want you to have impact. I want you to make a difference. I want you to stand up for truth. I want you to stand up against injustice. I want you to count in the world. I want you to make a difference. In other words, I want you to change the world just like me, just like Jesus. Now, on our best days, probably we could do this, probably to a degree. You know what I'm saying? Like when our meetings run really well, we probably don't even need God. Can you believe that? But it's true sometimes. We can forget about him because we're just so good at what we do because we're equipped by God, made by God, and we're pretty amazing. But it's only in those good days. But what about the rest of the days? You know those days where it's like, oh, I don't even want to get up. It's like those days whenever you don't even want to do what you always do. And the things that you like, you're not even fussed. But how do you be powerful on a regular basis and have and do something of note and value and do it to the degree that God's talking about without getting worn out or exhausted or even do it to the degree that he's talking about? I don't believe it's possible. So there must be a solution to that. The solution today is the Holy Spirit. He's a person. He's part of the Godhead. He is God. There's the Father, there's the Son, and there's the Holy Spirit. He's not the lesser one. He's as powerful as the others, and together they are God. Separate, they are God. It's a mystery. We cannot figure it out. But by faith, we receive it, and we realize that he is a person. He's not just an it. He's not just a thing, but the Holy Spirit is a person. He wants to empower you. Together, you can do this thing. Together, you can make a mark. How have you been getting on with being powerful? If you haven't got the Holy Spirit, I do not believe you can do it to the fullest measure that God has always intended. Because just like those early disciples, what was it not like walking with Jesus? When you could walk with him, you could do anything. It's the same with the Holy Spirit. When you walk with him, you are powerful and you will do great things for God. And the second one is witnesses. And I really want us to think about this for a moment. Now, if you went back and you translated this word from the Greek, you would find that this word witnesses means martyrs. You're thinking, whoa, no, come on. Like I signed up to be saved, not to die. But in a sense, when we read our Bibles more and more, we realize that just like Jesus, who was willing to die and who did die because he had to set us free, that we start to become more like him. And as we do, we say to ourselves, you know what? Just like Jesus, this life is not as valuable as I once thought because my real life is in heaven. So if I must lay it down for the sake of Jesus, I will. Now, I don't think that you will come to that conclusion in your own strength. And that's exactly what the writer's trying to tell us today and what they're trying to show us and what God wants us to know, that you won't really be able to do this in your own strength, or at least you'll have to work up to it for a long time, and then probably you'll back out. But guess what? Most of the early disciples were murdered. Most of the early disciples died for their faith. They literally did become those martyrs. But the reason that they were able to and could was because they were enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. You see, when God comes in your life and the power of God comes in your life, suddenly you're more powerful than ever. And suddenly you say to yourself, you know what? Okay, I could even die for this faith because God is with me and He is enabling me. Could you imagine ever trying to do that in your own strength? I just don't think it's possible. But the other aspect that I want to bring out of this, and I think this is really crucial for us today, is of course we want to be powerful in our faith, but we have to be witnesses. Now, let me just drill into this for a moment and try to expand our thinking a bit, because I think sometimes, given that most of us have grown up in church or we've been around church for a while, and even when new people come in, we make it very Christianized. We make it very kind of spiritual. And then we kind of leave our faith sometimes at the door of church and then pick it up the next Sunday. And when we go to work, we don't tend to be the same person. And God wants us to see differently today. If we're to be God's witnesses, guess what? He wants us to represent Him every part of every day. He wants us to represent Him. Do you remember when Paul wrote that we're to be ambassadors for Christ, that literally we are His representation? In other words, if you see me, you see Jesus. Now, if I put that on you today and it was just all on you and you had to do it all in your own strength, you'd be like, no, like I'm checking out. That's just too hard. That's just too difficult. But that's exactly what God wants us to think. And then in the same moment, realize that the Holy Spirit is ready to empower you. And when the Holy Spirit is upon you, He will give you power and He will make you. He will enable you to be a great witness, a person that's willing to lay down your life if required, but also a person that will represent no matter what time of the day. No matter what time of the day, you are going to represent the things of God. Okay, let me paint a picture today and talk about a dream lifestyle. I just want to paint that picture. Dream lifestyle. What's the first thing you think about? And I can imagine right now you're thinking beach, or you're thinking sun and sand and, you know, unlimited money maybe, and cars and freedom. You know, we're out of lockdown. We're free. We can go and do whatever we want. You know, you're thinking Braveheart, freedom, you know, and I'll just be free. I'll go do whatever. And that's maybe what you're thinking, dream lifestyle. But I want to come back a minute, because we're talking about faith and we're talking about Jesus and we're talking about what He does, and Him compared to anything else. We saw about it last time. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. We don't need anything else. So let's leave behind the superficial things, the surface things, and let's go deeper and say to ourselves, what's our dream lifestyle? Now, let me just dream with you for a moment, and then you can disagree with me in the chat or the comments or send us an email. But I would imagine if you're a Christian and you love the things of God and you want to become like God, then the ultimate dream for us would have been to walk with Jesus. That we would know Jesus, that we would have been there in those days. Now, we may not desire the days that He was there, because like we kind of like our social media and our, you know, our creature comforts and all the good things that we have today, which we didn't have back then. But what we would love is Jesus. Because back then, just like us, everybody loved Jesus. And if you could, you would be with them. So maybe your dream lifestyle today is that, man, I really wish that I could be with Jesus. It would be amazing. But here's the problem that the early church faced, and it would be the same problem that we would face today. Jesus was just one man. He could only be at one place at one time. In fact, He said, all I need is 12 disciples. That's all I can really manage to disciple. Imagine Jesus, who was fully man but also fully God, and He said, no, 12 is all that I can fully devote into, and they can devote back to me. Now, the rest I will go and minister to, I'll go and make a difference to, but I can't be with them all of the time. So you can see the problem. We've got this amazing Jesus. He takes away our sins. He transforms everything. Wouldn't it be amazing to be with Him? But then when you break it down, you realize, we've got a problem, because we've got more people than ever, so we would get less of Jesus than ever. So what would we do? We'd be back to square one. Here's the solution, and here was God's plan. Jesus was to come for a season. He was to do His work on the cross, which He did. And then when the season was up, that's why He said, it's better that I go. It's advantageous. Could you imagine? Imagine you're walking with Jesus. You're one of the 12. It's like the best lifestyle ever. And you're just figuring this whole thing out. And it's incredible that Jesus is doing wonderful things and He's transforming you. And then He turns around and He says, guys, it's actually better that I go. And you're like, is this a joke? And then He uses the word, it's advantageous. It's to your advantage that I go, because there's one coming just like me. He's the Holy Spirit. But here's the solution. The Holy Spirit is not confined to human form or skin. He's a spirit, so He can be everywhere. He can be everywhere all at one time. He can minister to me. He can minister to you. He's available to you. Jesus was not always available. He was not always free. We read about this in the scriptures over and over and over again. But Jesus came for a season. The Holy Spirit comes now for this time. And while the Father's at heaven, seated on the throne, and Jesus is right beside him because his work is complete, the Holy Spirit is here for us today. And this is why we're talking about Pentecost Sunday. In the last few weeks, we talked about getting stronger. We said we've got to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. We've got to know what it is to strengthen in prayer and to worship him and to read. And we've got to strengthen ourselves in the Lord and make room by clearing out space and rubbish. And that will make us stronger. But here's the key for today. Is that you can do all those good practical steps, but if you don't know the power of the Holy Spirit, it will just be good life changes without the spiritual impact. It will just be good life behavior changes instead of the spiritual impact that only the Spirit can bring, that only the Holy Spirit can bring. So you need the Holy Spirit if you haven't got it. The early disciples asked the question all of the time, have you received the Holy Spirit? And the people will come back and say, we've got Jesus. And they're like, no. Have you received the Holy Spirit? There's something more. There's more in God. Salvation is once, but the Holy Spirit is more. He wants to come and fill us over and over and over again. So what's God's solution when Jesus can't be here? It is, and he is the Holy Spirit, and he is available to you today. Amen. So our dream lifestyle can be fulfilled. Suddenly all Christians can live like God and live with God, and they can follow after God and become like God in their image because the Holy Spirit is here, the comforter, the guider, the companion, the one that leads us into all truth. And let me assure you of this, the Holy Spirit only ever brings us closer to Jesus. He convicted us of our sins so we could come to Jesus, and once we've come to Jesus in salvation, he's the one that brings us closer to Jesus and allows us to become more like Jesus. He only ever thinks of Jesus. Jesus only ever points to the Father. They are perfect harmony in one. We need the Holy Spirit to transform our lives. If we want to be like those early disciples and really get that experience that they have in terms of walking with God and talking with him and communion with him and being with him every single day, the Holy Spirit is the person that God sent. The Holy Spirit is the person that we need. Amen? Okay, so what's stopping us? I want to ask this big question. I believe this is a big question that we all need to ask our hearts today. What is stopping you from experiencing the Holy Spirit? Now, it may be that you just never heard of him, but most people have had a glimpse. So if you've never heard, that's amazing. You're going to hear this morning, and there's going to be opportunity for the Holy Spirit to really start to minister and move in your life. But let's say for the rest of us that have been saved a while, and if you're not saved, then you need the Holy Spirit first to convict you, which he's doing, and is probably doing it right now, and say yes to Jesus. But for those that are saved, what's stopping us from a regular experience with the Holy Spirit, or holding us back from the things of the Holy Spirit, or what's just stopping us from stepping more into the things of the Holy Spirit? And as I was praying and just seeking God and meditating on the things of God, here's what the Spirit spoke to me, is that what we're trying to do, one of the biggest mistakes that we're doing, is that we're trying to separate our lives. We're trying to split our lives. Now, you may be doing this subconsciously or on purpose or out of fear, but whatever way you're doing it, it's not leading you to a good place. It's actually splitting you up. It's dividing you up. And here's what we can do by accident or by intention. We can say, look, this is my secret life, or this is my godly life, and so I'm going to live after the things of God, and I'm going to do good things, I'm going to go to church, everybody's going to know it, but this part of my life, I'm going to separate it out, because you know what, I still need to do my thing, you know, I like to still do my thing, and we all have to resist that, and we all have to fight that, and ask the Holy Spirit to help us, and the person that we actually really need in all of this is the Holy Spirit, but by design or by accident, we are splitting ourselves, and we're saying, yeah, I'm a Christian here, but also I'm adaptable there, you know, when it comes to my workplace, when it comes to the things that I do, when it comes to my friends, I kind of change and mold a bit. And when we do that, then we say to ourselves, well, maybe I don't need to be a witness. Maybe I don't need to be powerful. So therefore, we step away from the Holy Spirit and we say, I'll just make him optional. But whenever you realize and whenever you reconcile in your life through the power of the Holy Spirit that you are one person, that you're meant to be one all of the time, then suddenly you say to yourself, if I'm going to be me, the real me, the Christian me, the God-loving me in front of my friends, wow, I'm going to need some help. I'm going to need some power, and I'm going to need to be a witness because I cannot do this in my own strength. And so to demonstrate the point, I started to think of a fun idea. Let me just give it to you today and maybe it'll make some sense. You know, this idea of trying to split ourselves off or trying to be two different people. I want you to imagine, we talked about walking with Jesus just earlier. I want you to imagine today that you've spotted Jesus and you got something in your heart and you're really desperate and you run up to him, you say, Jesus, is that you? And he's like, you know, it's like he just kind of grunts at you. You know, sometimes we grunt maybe at our moms or dads, or we grunt at our boyfriend or girlfriend or just at somebody else, you know. We just grunt and he just grunts at us and we're kind of startled for a minute, but we're like, we think nothing of it because we've heard about him. He's the miracle worker. You know, he's the one who raises people from the dead. He just loves unconditionally. And we're like, but Jesus, I just got something to really tell you. And it's like, feels like he's not even bothered. And then you just press in that wee bit more. You're just like, please, Jesus, like, I just really, really, really need your help. And you're trying to get his attention. And he kind of just lifts his head and he turns around and he says, what do you want? Like, in other words, clear off. And in fact, a moment later, he turns around and just says, you know, clear off. And you're like, but Jesus, you don't understand. I need your help. And he turns around to you and this is what he says. Hey, leave me alone. Leave me alone. I'm not interested. I'm on an off day. And you're like, but Jesus, I really need your help. And he's like, no, that's just what I do. It's not who I am. And you're like, whoa, it's just what you do. It's not who you are. And as I prayed about this and thought about this, I thought, wow, that really convicts me. It's not necessarily about what I do. I can do lots of good things, but is that really who I am? Because what I do can be turned on and off, but who I am is just who I am. If I deny that, then I really am splitting myself. So my question today is, if we're trying to constantly split ourselves, if we're constantly trying to divide ourselves, we're literally like Jesus in that story, where we expected to meet the wonderful Savior, but instead we met the alter ego. Now, I'm not saying you can't have down moments and there can't be moments of your day where you're like not the best person in the whole world. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you make a proper change in your mind where you say, right, this is who I am here and this is who I am there. And you specifically change. And you've got comfortable with that and you've got happy with that. And so as a result, the Holy Spirit has become optional, and you only really need to cry out to him in church when you want a blessing, you want an anointing, but you don't really ever cry out to him in the workplace or any other aspect in your life. Now let that one sit for a moment, because I'm still working through that one. That is heavy and that is big. Not to condemn, but I know that everything that God speaks is to set us free, and I want to be free. Amen? So what about us today? What about us? If we split ourselves into two people, guess what's going to happen? The one is going to be one more dominant than the other. And then we're going to find ourselves switching and flicking and confused and frustrated and fed up and ultimately getting angry. And that is not what God has intended. I want to tell you today, the Holy Spirit is not just for reading, praying, and worshiping. That's not his limit. His limit doesn't break down when you leave the church. He's meant to come. As you were transformed, every part of you is transformed. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in you. And I wrote down a few quick things. God wants to help us not get frustrated or angry. What about the frustrations you have and the anger that you have? The Holy Spirit needs to help you there. Unless you ask for help, he can't do it. You need to ask him so he will empower you and help you in those moments so that you will represent Jesus better. He wants to transform you in those moments. He wants to help you serve your boss better. Imagine this for a moment. He wants to help you lead better, be better with your kids, be a better business person, be a better business leader. Can I tell you, maybe you're leaving Jesus out of certain aspects of your life on purpose because you're happy with the way you're doing it. Allow the Holy Spirit to convict you, transform you, empower you, and change you. It's not what God wants you to do. He wants you to represent him fully all across every aspect of your life. Amen. Here's one where hits home, and I believe this is a real measure of how God is transforming us and how the Holy Spirit is moving in your life. He needs us to be becoming better husbands all of the time. I'm speaking about me. You apply it to you. I need to be becoming a better husband. That needs to be on my gaze. That needs to be where I'm going. That's my direction, to be a better husband. I need to be becoming a better father for my kids, for their benefit, better dad. I need to be becoming a better son because I'm all three of those things. What is it for you? Better employee, better son, better daughter, better mom, better dad, better wife, whatever, wherever you find yourself, there should be complete transformation happening all the way through your life. If you're trying to do it in your strength, you're never going to do it. You need God's help. And then when it comes to fighting the battles of life, you know, divorce, moving on from heartache, trying to move on from loss, trying to face those results, that cancer scare, whatever it is, you need the Holy Spirit. He came to empower you for that. Please don't see God as heartless and all he did was empower you to go and reach the lost. That's a huge part of it, but he empowered you to have transformation in your life so that you will never be the same again. Amen? This is his heart, a complete work in you, a full work in you, so that you're fully transformed in every area. God didn't just save the Christian part of you, if you split it down to that, or just the religious part of you. He saved the whole of you, for God so loved the world. He laid down his life for you. His body was broken for you, and the Holy Spirit is for you, so you can grow into the image of God and become transformed and changed. Amen? Stop dividing yourself. Stop holding yourself back and stop presenting yourself as a different person in other areas. That's always going to lead to frustration. Allow the Lord to restore you and ask the Holy Spirit to fill you today over and over and over again. He wants to transform every aspect of our lives. The Holy Spirit is not just for godly things. He's for everything. Amen. He's not just for godly things. He's for every part of your life. Let him come in. Let him empower you and stop being afraid. He already knows. He just wants you to be brave and invite him in and allow him to work through you. You can do this thing together, not apart. You see, really, when it comes down to it, it's that battle of myself and my strength against allowing others or even allowing God to make a difference. Can I just give you a big stop command if you need it to do? Stop trying to do everything by yourself. Do you know what I'm saying? Stop trying to do everything by yourself. You were born for relationships. You were destined for it. It's where you grow the best. Stop trying to present the best you because you're worried what people will think of you. Just be you. Be real. Drop the mask. Ask the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to empower you to be the real you. That looks like just being vulnerable sometimes. That looks like just being real sometimes and telling about the real issues, the real sins that you face. That's why the Bible says, confess your sins one to another and watch them go. Watch them get transformed. Watch them get wiped away, because there's something powerful about being together. Every time we stay isolated and alone, we start to feed the opposite spirit. We start to feed that kind of isolation. I can do this and it's my strength and I will make this thing happen. That is exhausting and you will never ever do it. And just like we did before we were saved, we will continue to do it when we are saved, unless every day we remind ourselves, I need the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, will you come and fill me? Holy Spirit, will you come and transform me? I believe that the heart and the key of the Holy Spirit is for kingdom living. It's so that we can live life to the fullest. And if we don't know the Holy Spirit, I do not believe, and if we're not empowered by the Holy Spirit, I do not believe we can live that abundant life that God always planned for us. So we're going to read Acts chapter 2, verse 1. I want to read this portion. We've read the latter part of the verses a few weeks ago. We've been loving the end of chapter 2. I want to read the start of chapter 2. I'm going to encourage you at home, get a time today and read the whole thing. Read it all, because I won't have time to do it. I'm going to read the first 4 or 5 verses and that's it, and then we're going to move on. But here's what it says, Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together. Now, remember this, all together in one place. Remember that, one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house. They were in a house. Amen? You're probably in a house. It's good news. God does great things in homes. And they were all sitting. They saw, verse 3, they saw what seemed to be, it seemed to be like tongues of fire that separated and came and rest on each of them. So it's like this fire just came upon them. It was the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Wow, what a moment. What a moment, guys, of a picture of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out. And it's just like this incredible image. It's like a movie, isn't it? But it was real life. And they just got just absolutely overwhelmed and just blessed and just filled with the Holy Spirit. And they were never the same again. And then suddenly the church exploded. Here's some of the key things I wrote down. They were all together. We need to be all together. They were in one place. There was that wonderful unity around the things of God and the things of Jesus. And anytime there's unity, blessing flows. It sounded like hurricanes filling the house. Don't be worried if it gets a bit noisy sometimes. It might be just the Holy Spirit moving in your home. There was image of fire on each person. The fire of God was on them. Not literally, but spiritually. It was just on them and you could see it and it was incredible. They were filled with the Spirit. And then the last thing I'll make mention of just for a moment before we move on, and it says as they were filled with the Spirit, is that they began to speak in other tongues. Now this is one of the most contentious things, but can I tell you, don't let it be. Anytime time God did anything big and significant, it was always through speech. In the beginning, there was nothing, and then God spoke, and the world was formed. Go back to Genesis 1 and read it. When Jesus cried out on the cross, he cried out, it was finished, and it was done. When Jesus spoke, things moved. When he would speak to the demons, they would flee. When he would speak to the dead, they would rise. When we ask Jesus into our lives, what happened? We confessed it with our mouths. And the Bible makes it very clear. Anytime the heart gets touched, and that's exactly what the Holy Spirit's doing. He's filling and flooding our heart. The Bible tells us the mouth always speaks. And isn't it incredible when the Lord filled us with the Spirit, that not only did he empower us with the Spirit, but he gave us a heavenly prayer language so we could speak and communicate with the things of God and speak to God. Those times where you get frustrated in prayer and you don't know what else to say because your English has run out or whatever your natural language is and it's run out and you get frustrated. Well, now that we're filled with the Spirit and we're constantly being filled with the Spirit, we have this heavenly prayer language. We're able to communicate with the Father. We're able to talk Spirit to Spirit. It's a wonderful gift. Don't let anybody discourage you. The Holy Spirit is a wonderful gift. He's a wonderful person. He's a wonderful gift. And when he gives you, when he empowers you and fills you, he gives that wonderful gift of other tongues, that heavenly prayer language. That's a blessing to you. The Bible tells us, Paul said, I wish you all spoke in tongues to encourage us to go after it, but also because it edifies us and it builds us up spiritually. So what a moment that forever changed history. But let's backtrack to chapter 1, verse 4. Just four verses, what we read at the very beginning, which was Acts 8. Let's read Acts 1, 4. And here's what happened. This is what led up to it. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And while they were staying with him, this is Jesus, he ordered them. He gives them a command and he says, do not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. Let's remember that phrase, the promise of the Father, another name for the Holy Spirit. He said, you heard from me, for John the Baptist baptized with water, but you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Wow. What picture is Jesus trying to give to the disciples? He's saying, guys, I'm giving you a strong suggestion here. I'm giving you a strong plan. Stay here. Don't move here. But here's the picture I want to put in your heart, Jesus says to the disciples. Remember John the Baptist? Whenever you got saved to represent that salvation, you went into the water, you came out of the water, and it was a watery grave because it represented what I would do on the cross. It represented your new life in me. You would go down into the grave and you would come back up out of the grave. And everything about you be transformed. Even your exterior would be transformed because you'd be soaking wet. That's the picture of baptism. And Jesus is trying to paint the same picture with the Holy Spirit. He says, when the Holy Spirit baptizes you, it's going to be an inward thing and an outward thing. It's going to be decision, because when you got baptized, if you have done, it was a decision. After you got saved, you decided, I want to get baptized in water. So you made a conscious decision. It was something you knew about. It didn't creep up on you. It didn't happen by accident. You were fully aware. And then when the time came, you were baptized in water, you came back up and you said, this is my public declaration of what's already happened internally. The Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit is very similar in a lot of those ways. Jesus says, it's intentional, you'll know when it happens. A lot of times it will be dramatic, but there'll be an inward thing and there'll be an outward thing. Just know that you've got to say yes to this thing. It's something that you must condone. It's something that you must give permission to. The Holy Spirit is so kind. He's a gentleman. He never takes anybody over. He simply waits till he's asked. So ask for the Holy Spirit and keep asking till you find him, and keep asking till you've got him. And when you've got him, ask for more, because there's always more in the Holy Spirit. He always has more. Amen. And so that's what they did. But I want to bring this out. It was their choice. Early Jesus said, there's something amazing coming. Remember, he's going to empower you. Acts 1:8 told us that he's going to empower you. He's going to make you witnesses. He's going to transform your life. You're going to represent me. Everyone's going to be different. It's going to be just like walking with me. But before you do it, you've got to wait. You've got to trust me, Jesus says. Please trust me. This is so important. I want you to trust me and wait. And I believe God is saying it's exactly the same for us. And they had to wait. They had to wait for 10 days. Why? I believe that 10 days, if they had missed that and Jesus really urged them to stay, I really believe this part is crucial, because for them to go out and try to birth the church in their own strength, it would have failed dramatically. It would have been like epic fail. But they waited. They trusted God. It turned out to be 10 days. Pentecost means 50, 40 days after Jesus ascended. 40 days, Jesus is resurrected. Then 40 days later, he ascends into heaven. He says, wait. And for the next 10 days, they waited. And after the 50 days had happened, the Holy Spirit moved. They had to learn to wait. And here's my questions for us today. What if we waited better for the things of God? Imagine if those early disciples didn't wait. It's a disaster. What if part of what's going on in our lives is that we're not waiting enough before the Lord? Do you know what I mean? Like waiting before him with anticipation, with expectation. Because these guys didn't wait asleep. They didn't wait like, oh. It's like they waited with expectation and excitement. They couldn't wait. And so when the moment came, they were all together and in unity. That's how you know they waited well. Because otherwise they've been disgruntled, fed up, worn out. They couldn't wait any longer. No, they waited with patience, it seems like. They waited healthy. They waited strong. They waited in unity. And they were all together in one accord. Another translation says, and when that happens, wow, Holy Spirit moves. What about your life? What if we waited better for the things of God? What if we trusted Jesus more? What if the Holy Spirit came and filled us today and the next day and the next day? What would our lives look like? We would be dramatically different in our hearts, in our heads, and in our lives. Everything would be changed. That is what we need. I hope today that from what I'm sharing from the Word and how the Word is speaking to your heart, I hope that you're getting excited and there's an expectation and anticipation. You may have been discouraged before in the Holy Spirit. Just allow the Lord to take that away. Allow the Holy Spirit to help you. You may have had the Holy Spirit before. Allow him to fill you afresh. Or you may have never known him. Well, today's going to be a wonderful day. Allow your expectation to rise. Allow your waiting with anticipation to rise, and allow your togetherness in God to rise. Allow your unity with him to rise, and allow your unity together as a family today rise, and watch how the Holy Spirit is going to fall. Amen. They waited for 10 days, and then suddenly everything changed. If we're Christians today and we know the Lord, then we need his empowerment. If we know Jesus, then we need his empowerment today. Don't go a single day more without it. If you've waited before, wait again. We need to create a lifestyle where we are waiting patiently before the Lord with anticipation. It's not waiting in a queue fed up. It's waiting for more because we know there's more coming. We need to create culture in our lives where we wait before the Lord every day for a few moments and maybe a few moments longer the next day. Trust me, when you experience the Holy Spirit, you will push away everything else to get more time with him. In fact, sometimes you're going to have to prize yourself away. Imagine Jesus. Sometimes he had to prize himself away from the Father because his companionship, his fellowship with the Holy Spirit and with the Father was so good, he didn't want to leave it. But he did because the call of God was in his life. And because what does the Holy Spirit do? He empowers you for service for the King. Maybe you have been saved, but now it's time to get fueled up for service. Amen. Maybe you've been saved. You've known God. You've asked Jesus into your life, but it's time to get fueled up for service. If you don't, you're going to be like that car that gets so far and then runs out of juice, runs out of fuel. And then what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And for a lot of Christians, that's where we find ourselves, beaten, broken, fed up, wondering, what is this really all about? Am I just a waited through to heaven? And I say to you, no, be encouraged. It's time to go for an upgrade. It's time to go for a fresh fill. It's time to get new fuel. And the Holy Spirit is right here to empower you and enable you and refresh you and just be the friend that you need and to be Jesus beside you. And just like those early disciples, you can walk with them every day. Don't come to salvation and then neglect Pentecost. We cannot do it. Please, church, I urge you, don't neglect this. Push through and ask the Holy Spirit. Take a risk in faith and ask him to fill you. Okay, let me share one last story with you today, and then we're really going to pray. And we've got something really exciting today because Aaron and I, whatever we're supposed to officially say it, we're going to go live after this. So we'll do some worship together, some prayer time together. We're just going to believe for the Holy Spirit to invade your home like a rushing wind, and the tongues of fire would come on your head. Amen. Before we do it, last story. Let's think about butterflies and butterflies and eagles. Amen? So butterflies. A few weeks ago, we were given this special gift. I didn't know what it was, but it turned out it was a special present, and inside there were caterpillars, and it was a kit for growing them at home. I know, weird. But you could grow these caterpillars at home. All the special things were there, the food, all the instructions, and by the end of it, these caterpillars were going to go into their cocoon. It's where they are at the moment, and then at the very end, they're going to turn into those incredible butterflies. And when you think about it, it's a wonderful picture of salvation. We might have started off as those ugly caterpillars. I know, we don't want to believe it, but it's the case. And then the Holy Spirit works in our lives, and maybe there's a bit of a testing time and a bit of a transformation, and kind of like an in-between time happens, and then Jesus saves us. And suddenly in that moment, we become brand new. It's a beautiful picture of the butterfly, because you are totally different to what you were before. You don't look the same. You don't act the same. You didn't even fly before. Now suddenly you fly. Before you used to crawl, now you fly. It's a wonderful picture of salvation. And I want you to think about that for a moment. But the Bible is also very clear that those early days of faith, they're almost like we're babes in the faith. And God's desire is that we would not stay there, but we would get stronger. Now, the one downside of a butterfly is it's beautiful, but it's not very strong, eh? You know, it can be blown around a lot. It can be tossed around a lot. You know, it can be easily killed. You know, it's like, it's a fragile. It's very fragile. It needs a lot of care and attention. And so we've got these butterflies, but our goal is we're going to see, they're not butterflies yet, but our goal is to see them, and then they're going to fly off and create more butterflies. Hey, what a great story. But so butterflies, and then on the other side, you've got eagles. Now, eagles are totally different, aren't they? Eagles, they're similar, they both fly, but eagles are majestic. They can soar. They can rise up. They can go far higher than a butterfly. They're far stronger. You know, they look far bigger. They're just able to do far more things. They can go and grab things. They can kill things. They're incredible. They are totally different to the butterfly. And for a moment, I want you to think of this as a picture of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, we're like those butterflies. We look beautiful, but we're very fragile. We can be tossed and turned by every opinion, by every false accusation, by everything that would come against us. And even though we're beautiful, we're not very purposeful. We're not able to do an awful lot of things. But whenever, and the Bible talks about it, whenever we grow, maybe we start to become almost like those eagles that God always hoped for. Those eagles of maturity. They're able to soar. They're so majestic. They actually get, we'll get into it. I love some of these ideas, but they actually get into some of those jet streams, and then they start to fly up where the airplanes go. I mean, there's just no other bird that can fly as high as the eagle, because something has changed. Transformation has taken place. And for us as Christians, that's what God wants to do. And so we should think and get that image in our heads. I can stay as a butterfly, or through the Holy Spirit, I can become like the incredible eagle. Let me tell you one last funny story. And it was about years ago when we were back at the tech or the college in Armagh. Now, whenever you're 17, all you're thinking about is driving. That's what it was for us. Like, I mean, phones weren't that massive a deal. They were green. The best was like a Matrix phone that flipped out. It wasn't that great. They didn't do anything what they do today, really. You could get dodgy internet, and that was about it. Didn't work right. And maybe email, maybe email. So apart from, you know, it's like you're a guy, it's a girl, of course, you're after the girls. But the next best thing, because sometimes around 17, 18, you don't have much success, but the next best thing is the car, and you want to get a car. So everybody's thinking about a car. But the big problem with the car was money and insurance. So if you managed to get the money, the next biggest problem you had was the insurance. So as a result, you got a compromise. And we would go for 1 liter petrols. Courses usually, or something like that. Now, I didn't have one, but a few other guys did, and they get these courses. Now, what they would do is they would make up for the lack of horsepower by making it more beautiful. They would make it look the part. Now, here was the statement that came out, and you remember this: all show and no go. You see, the problem was on the outside, you could put a body kit on, you could put allies on, you could make it look good, tint the windows, get the radio up loud, get the music going, and it all looked the part. But the problem was the moment you started that thing up, or the moment you put your foot down, it didn't go anywhere, because the most important thing wasn't upgraded. The engine hadn't changed. Inside was no different. And I think it can be exactly the same for us as Christians. We can put up a good front. We can say the right things. We might even do the right things. But inside, what is going on? Are we getting stronger? Are we becoming more mature? Because how you'll know is eventually it should get to the outside. Remember, as God changes your heart, as He changes your head, it will change your talk. It will change your attitude. It will change your responses. So today, I don't want to be all show and no go, amen. When the Holy Spirit filled me, He transformed me. He took me from a nice floaty butterfly to I started to get stronger like an eagle. And now I believe I'm soaring better than I ever have done before. I could have never done it without the power of the Holy Spirit. I could never do it with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, personally for me, has become my best friend. He's incredible. He has helped me through the most toughest situations, times where I just thought I wouldn't make it in work or wouldn't make it through with this decision or that. He gave me wisdom. Times where I wasn't sure how to just to achieve this or say what to do here or what to say there, and He helped me. Or moments when I was sad and broken, and He repaired me and He helped me. He brought me through on my best days and my worst days and every other day in between. The Holy Spirit is amazing. The Holy Spirit wants to transform you from a beautiful butterfly. There's nothing wrong with a beautiful butterfly, but God has seen you as a mighty strong eagle that's going to do significant things for the kingdom. You need the Holy Spirit. Let me read one last thing today. One of the greatest preachers, Charles Spurgeon, said this from 200 odd years ago. They called him the Prince of Preachers, and this is what he prayed, and he said this would be his last prayer. If there was only one prayer which I might pray before I die, it should be this: Lord, send your church men and women filled with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He went on to say, the church is weak today because the Holy Spirit is not upon her members as we could desire Him to be. You and I are tottering along like feeble babes, whereas had we more of the Spirit, we might walk without fainting, run without weariness, and even mount up on wings like eagles. Here is what my prayer is today, that we would get filled afresh with the Holy Spirit. Wherever we find ourselves, whatever regrets going on, whatever disappointment, allow the Holy Spirit to fill you. If you don't know Him, would you say yes to the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit's the one that convicts us of our need of salvation. He's the one that leads us to Jesus. But then He's the one that continues to transform us and help us and walk with us. And just like those early disciples, if you are a Christian today, you can walk with God every day through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's right there. He's always been there. You've just not noticed Him, or you've forgotten about Him, or you've neglected Him. Welcome Him into your life. Ask Him to come afresh and watch what He does. He empowers you and allows you to become that witness that you've always really wanted to become, but you find yourself scared and nervous. And remember this, we all need changed because sin has messed us up. So you might be saying, well, this is just who I am. Well, pray to God and ask the Lord to reveal it to you, because remember, God wants to bring you into His likeness. Always ask this question: is my attitude, my behavior, the things that I do, does it remind others of Jesus? If it doesn't, it needs to change. Amen. I've had lots of construction work done inside of my heart, and God says there's more, but He's patient with me. He loves me, and the Holy Spirit is encouraging me, and He's empowering me. Guys, we're going to pray. If you don't know Him, ask Jesus into your life today. He wants to take away your sins. He wants to give you the brand new start, and He wants to turn you almost from that caterpillar to a butterfly. But God has made you in His image. Don't let the enemy steal from you any longer. Get right with God today. And if you're a Christian, we're going to pray that you're going to experience more of the Holy Spirit today, because it's Pentecost Sunday, and what a day to come alive and feel fully alive in the things of the Spirit like never before. Amen. Come on, let's pray. Lord, I thank You for everybody that's tuned in. I thank You, Lord, today that there are key decisions that are happening in our hearts right now. If we're not saved, let's confess it. Let's say, I believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord, and I confess it with my mouth. Let's believe right now that the Holy Spirit has taken away your sins. And if you're at home or watching, just say yes to Jesus. And you might say it with fear and almost just dread, but say it with purpose, because you know that Jesus is good, and suddenly something's come over you and you've recognized your need of Him. So say yes to Him. And right now, I ask You, Jesus, You would transform those lives. You would just heal that brokenness. You would take away that sin, and You would give them a brand new start in Jesus' name. Amen. And then for us as Christians, come on, church. Let's lift up our hands today. We're going to worship in a few moments, but let's just pray. We ask You, Holy Spirit, that You would move mightily right now in our homes. We need You, Lord. I ask You right now that You would come and touch our hearts, because we don't even know how much we need You. We need You to touch us. Renew us on the inside. Let us never be the same again. Holy Spirit, move mightily. We love You, Jesus. We ask You, Lord, come and transform us. We want to be those eagles. We want to be those disciples. We want to be those people that are empowered and witnesses and represent You all the way through our lives. In Jesus' name, pour out afresh, Jesus. We love You. Thank You, Lord.